Hello and welcome to She Makes News. It's Friday, April 19. I'm your host, Kimberly Finesse, and this is your weekly wrap-up for regional women in Australia. Ceramic artist and TikToker Shelby Sherritt is opening a paint-your-own pottery studio in Ballarat, Victoria. Shelby says the idea for the pottage came to life after receiving numerous requests for workshops and studio visits.
The decision to open up the pottage has been a long time in the making, actually. I was always doing pottery and sharing the joy for creativity and making things with joy. And I would get heaps of questions being like, do you do workshops? Do you do sessions? Can I come to your studio and learn how you do that or even paint the pieces myself? So I knew that I had to maybe look into that in the future, and I always wanted to do it, but I was always kind of constrained by funding. And I finally said, saved up enough money and I was like, you know what, let's just finally do it and open up a workshop for people to come and create their own pieces.
Understanding the economic climate and the challenges faced by bricks and mortar stores, Shelby has adopted a strategy to minimise risk by offering intimate session bookings rather than walk-ins. This approach allows her to gauge demand and manage the workshop's resources effectively.
There's always a risk with it, and I think especially with news in the economy and seeing a lot of brick and mortar shops shutting down, it was, yeah, a huge risk. But for this space, I wanted to make it more of like an intimate session booking where you can book your time and come in rather than a walk-in store for the time being, just so that we can kind of guarantee who's going to come in and the hours that we need to be there. So that was like a way I am kind of minimizing that risk and also being able to assess the demand and the supply that we need to work for the space. It was very nerve-wracking, but I've sort of planned it in a way that we can monitor and gauge whether it's being successful before fully leaning straight into being open all the time.
Behind the scenes, the team of three have been busy making a variety of items for attendees to paint, including mugs, jars, trinkets, bowls, platters, and figurines.
It took a long time. We've been working on it for months now, trying to backlog all the pieces and make sure that we have an array of pieces. And behind the scenes, we've also been doing pre-orders to just keep that cash flow rolling in. We set down a tally of 10 pieces per thing to open. And out of those things, I reckon we've maybe hit 50 options.
With an Instagram following of 340,000 and almost 2 million on TikTok, Shelby attributes much of her success to her savvy use of social media and her approach to branding. By providing the behind-the-scenes look at her process and connecting with her audience on a personal level, Shelby has built a strong community around her brand.
It is really hard to get a sustainable pottery business because a lot of people don't realize how much actually goes into the making of that simple mug that you drink your morning coffee out of all the time. I attribute my success to really marketing and branding myself as a brand just as much as I am an artist. And I think that that has really contributed to my success. So using social media as a really valuable tool to drive interest and traffic, but not just about like promoting my work and saying, I've got this ready, or this is what I have, this is what I'm selling, but also giving like a behind the scenes look and a connection and a deeper evaluation of the item that people are watching me create. So that might be through doing like a behind the scenes blooper of like something going wrong, where you kind of see that there's a human behind that and there's a human that's really trying their best to do some amazing work and it doesn't always go right, but also showing those success stories and showing off the highlights of the business and mixed in with just funky content that people can follow along and it's relatable and easy to digest, I think has been like the key contributor to my success.
The pottage is not just a business venture for Shelby. She hopes to fill a gap in the market and provide a service that has been missing in Ballarat, potentially boosting local tourism and contributing to the city's reputation as an arts hub.
I am hoping that it will put Ballarat on the map. We will sort of be recognised for our arts program and our arts initiatives. We have a lot of artists that live here and reside here and a lot of art programs that are here. So I'm hoping that it will reach a further market for that as well. I really just want to connect with the local Ballarat community because a lot of the time we often have to travel to Bendigo, Geelong, Melbourne just to do certain activities and things. So I'm just hoping that I can grant that sort of access here in Ballarat.
The booking website is set to launch this Saturday and the first session will be held Friday, April 26. A research paper published in the Journal of Audio and Radio this month examines the opportunities and challenges that podcasts hold for amplifying rural women's voices. Kirsten Diprose, founder of the Rural Podcasting Co. and host of Ducks on a Pond, worked with Dr. Maria Ray, a senior lecturer at Deakin Uni, to explore podcasting's impact on rural communities. 11 women met the criteria of rural women podcast producers, with 9 participating in the study. Kirsten said their research uncovered a strong desire among rural podcasters to connect with and amplify the voices of their communities. Many saw their podcasts as platforms for addressing specific rural issues, like Motherland by Stephanie Trethewey, which focuses on connecting rural mothers and addressing issues like access to support groups.
I wasn't surprised to hear from most of the women that they wanted to connect with other rural women, and that was important. A lot of the women also wanted to raise other rural women's voices. And for some of the podcasters, it was more about a particular issue, and that's how it arose.
A surprising theme emerged from Kirsten's research: podcasters' profound sense of responsibility towards their guests, ensuring they feel comfortable sharing personal stories.
I suppose a really interesting theme that I didn't expect was that so many of our podcasters really feel a strong duty of care to their guests. They really like to make sure it's understood, you know, and the guest feels comfortable when they're opening up, because of course many of the people who we're speaking to on podcasts have never been on a podcast or any kind of media before, or, you know, you're having an hour-long conversation with someone and asking them about really personal and emotional things.
Kirsten says digital connectivity remains a significant challenge, particularly in remote areas with limited internet access. And monetization can be difficult, as securing sponsorships and generating revenue is often challenging for niche podcasts.
It's still quite challenging to find sponsorship. You know, advertising perhaps is another way. There's memberships that might be available, but a lot of the women I spoke to talked about how it's really started as a passion project. Podcasting being a relatively new thing in the scheme of media, a lot of people don't understand the time that it takes to produce a good podcast. So therefore, when someone says, oh, can you make us a podcast, or what would this cost for a podcast, they're quite surprised because of the time that takes.
Speaking as a podcast host and producer, Kirsten believes there is a missed opportunity for ag companies to sponsor podcasts.
When I look at the sort of podcasts in the rural and agriculture space, and I see a lot of podcasts that are about ag and farming, and a lot of those are hosted by men, not all of them, but they seem to be able to get sponsors a lot easier. And I think it's because that link for businesses is probably easier. Like, oh, okay, yes, I'm a chemical company, or I'm a grains company or whatever, and this podcast is about the practicalities or the finance of farming. But I think there's a huge missed opportunity here for some of those social things, which is what the women often talk about. A lot of these podcasts are more social based and human interest based. But, you know, when you think about it, women are often the ones who do the books on the farm. There are plenty of women who are involved in community and business in different ways. So I think a smart business will really look at these podcasts and think, oh yeah, actually being associated with that, the kudos of people doing great things, of communities coming together and doing big things, or movements for change, which is what some of these podcasts are, they can get a lot of that kudos through that.
Now the academic paper has been released, Kirsten is hoping policymakers and academics will recognise podcasting as a valuable form of journalism and community building alongside traditional media, challenging stereotypes about rural communities and amplifying diverse voices.
So I hope that it's taken up by policymakers and academics when they're thinking about what life is like for rural and regional women and the role that we play, that it's broader than some of the old stereotypes. There are some very innovative women in the bush, because you have to be. And also because, you know, why not? Now that we've got the tools of technology, we can do anything. And I think that that's changing the face of rural and regional life in the country for the better.
Now let's dig into some headlines with our sponsor, Grown Not Flown, who make it easy to browse and order locally grown or produced goods direct from your lounge in only a few clicks. Peds Education are hiring first aid trainers, particularly in the Ballarat, Moorabool and Bendigo Shires. If you are a medical professional with your Certificate 4 in training and assessment and want to join a supportive, fun and progressive team, contact Peds Education. Dream Accounting, based in Wodonga, is rolling out an intentional profit workshop for psychologists. Join qualified accountant and registered tax agent Andrea Pierce for two online sessions where you can analyse your financial data and gain the insight needed to make confident financial decisions. The workshops will be held May 10 and 17. Rooms of Requirement in Griffith, New South Wales has a fully furnished office space available, featuring a large stand-up desk, two monitors, and one-on-one meeting table, booking essential on a daily basis via their website. Rapunyup Living in rural Victoria has put a call out for creative marketing and event support to help grow the business. Rapunyup Living brings together a vibrant collection of gifts, accessories, and homewares by Australian designers and producers. Get in touch with Claire via Rapunyup Living on Instagram. The Butterfly Foundation has released its Community Insights report, which reveals a dangerous gap in understanding of eating disorders in Australia. This new report updates and reviews community awareness and attitudes around body image and eating disorders since its previous report in 2021. Over 1 million Australians are living with an eating disorder. Less than a third of those receive treatment or support. The Butterfly Foundation provides support for anyone impacted by an eating disorder or a body image issue. A win for young girls in Western Australia this week. Free period products will be provided to all public primary schools in WA. And finally, to wrap us up, good luck getting any engagement on Instagram today, unless it's about Taylor Swift's new album dropping this afternoon. Set your alarms for the much anticipated The Tortured Poets Society. That's your weekly wrap-up for Regional Women. You'll find links in our show notes for anything that's been mentioned. If you'd like to hear your news, share it with us on Instagram at shemakesnews or via email shemakesnews@gmail.com.